Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, August 3rd, 2015. Authorities in Western Bahr al-Ghazal state blame rebels loyal to Riek Machar for killing two people over the weekend.
They cut him with machetes and we have admitted him in the hospital with serious injuries. This is our situation these days. Our security personnel are tracing their whereabouts. They have appeared in most of the areas of Mboro and Gedi.
And South Sudanese officials are delighted over the International Olympic Committee's unanimous decision to allow South Sudan to compete in the Olympic Games in Rio.
We want to focus, we want to make sure that the youth of South Sudan are involved in sport activities all over the world, like the rest of the countries. So I'm happy. Thanks to all people who had been running after this.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. At least two people were killed and three wounded in an attack on Saturday in Wau County in western Bahr al-Ghazal state. Among the wounded is a newly appointed paramount chief, William Camilo Gatti, who succeeded Chief Angelo Bagari after he was assassinated in May. The incident in Mboro Payam was one of the several recent attacks in western Bahr al-Ghazal state, as we hear from Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
A group of chiefs and administrators headed by Wau County Paramount Chief William Camilo Gatti were traveling on motorcycles along the Ngokaza Road Saturday afternoon when they came under fire from unknown gunmen. Chief Camilo, one of the survivors, says two were killed on the spot.
When I reached the mountain, I saw an armed man in army uniform who told me to stop and started firing at me. The man I was carrying fell down and I knew he was shot dead. I was shot on the right leg, so I decided to throw down my bike and enter the bush as they continued firing at me.
Basilea Payam administrator Natalie John Francis was killed in the attack, as was a policeman identified as John. Angelo Taban Biajo, Western Bahr al-Ghazal State's Minister of Local Government, suspects the attack might have been carried out by rebels allied who support Riek Machar.
There are activities of the rebels in Wau Town which can't be denied. We got information that a platoon has been sent out for a mission to assassinate responsible people. That is why they have attacked the paramount chief William Camilo before Mboro and Kazi.
On Friday night, Wau County's Gedi Boma sub-chief Batista Rodolfo Lisan was attacked at his house by armed men in Dongolto. Biajo says the attackers used machetes, then fled into the bush.
They cut him with machetes and we have admitted him in the hospital with serious injuries. This is our situation these days. Our security personnel are tracing their whereabouts. They have appeared in most of the areas of Mboro and Gedi.
Gedi Boma Chief Lisan says the culprits accused him of being a government agent and that he was kidnapped and taken to the bush where his attackers cut off part of his ears. Lisan says it was around 1 a.m. when his small dog started barking. He says he suddenly heard a kick at the door and someone yelled, "Get out!" Lisan says he got out and was told to get the gun, as others started beating his wife in the house before he was taken far into the jungle. Minister Biajo has condemned the incident. He says security forces now have the situation under control in Wau County. Wau County Commissioner Elia Camilo Dimo says chiefs in his area have become vulnerable to the attacks because there are only a few police personnel. He says more young men and women have been recruited to join the police force and help provide security in the county. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, reporting
in
WOW.
Still on insecurity issues, 11 people have been killed in Western Equatoria State's Yambio County in clashes between civilians and South Sudan Army over the weekend. The violence also left an unknown number of people injured. The governor of the state, Joseph Bakasoro, says the latest violence has created fear among the people because, he says, it is the first of its kind to hit the state. VOA fellow Tito Justin reports from Washington.
Among those killed are 8 civilians and 3 SPLA soldiers, according to Governor Bakasoro. This marks the third time within 2 months that civilians and the army in the state have engaged in deadly fighting over land. Governor Bakasoro says the fighting started from out of nowhere. He says the state started experiencing violence when cattle keepers refused to abide by President Salva Kiir's order in March to leave farmers' land free.
It started to be because of the issue of the cattle when our President Salva Kiir issued an order for all the cattle to leave the Equatoria region. That is immediately after the decree, we began to experience that kind of incident.
Thousands of civilians have been displaced by the fighting. Some went to hide in the bush, while others remained stranded around enemy's compound because they were rejected entry into the compound, according to the governor. Overcrowding has been a problem at the compound. Yambio resident Amin Jackson was there when the fighting started. He says civilians want protection because the unidentified gunmen will shoot anybody they find on their way.
If they see you, then they can shoot you. I don't know who are those people. So that's what happened there. And people are now, they are fearing to go there. They are fearing to go there. And then in case they refuse to enter in their compound because I don't know whether the compound is not adequate. I don't know. There are over 1,000 people.
In June, 11 civilians were killed and hundreds of others were displaced when fighting broke out between cattle keepers and farmers. The violence prompted the arrest of nearly 40 youths who have not been charged. Governor Bakasoro has accused the SPLA soldiers who arrested the youths of being unprofessional. In this latest round of clashes, Bakasoro says new things are happening which are aimed at destabilizing the state.
What is happening now has never happened before, and this is not our interest as the people of Western Equatoria. We are always peaceful, but of course, insecurity can be imported, can be invented, just to say the government has failed to protect its people. But that is not our interest. We hope that sooner or later, by tomorrow, next tomorrow, everything will be normal.
Bakasoro says SPLA commandos have been deployed in the area to calm the situation. He says the state has formed a committee including community members, civil society organizations, security officials and others to investigate the cause of the continuing violence. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
South Sudan's only brewery could be closing its doors permanently. Carlos Gomes, the managing director of South Sudan Beverages Limited, or SSBL, says that unless things change, there are just too many economic challenges in South Sudan to make it viable to continue doing business there. Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba for VOA.
At its facility in Juba, SSBL brews and bottles popular beers including Nile Special, White Bull and Club. The company, which is owned by British beverages giant Submiller, also makes soft drinks here.
This is the soft drink line. We've got 6 lines. You know, we've got the soft drink.
But SSBL's Gomez says South Sudanese should get used to the idea that their favorite beverages could be more difficult to come by in the not too distant future. Gomez says SSBL is shutting down its Juba brewing and bottling operation partly because the company is finding it increasingly difficult to access foreign currency. Gomez says the company needs U.S. dollars to be able to import the ingredients that go into its products.
We depend on imported raw materials simply because the kind of raw materials that we need for our operation are not available in country.
Gomez says SSBL used to get foreign currency from commercial banks in Juba. But lately, he says the only option has been to buy dollars on the black market. Gomez says that is extremely expensive and an ineffective way to operate. But Gomez says that is not the only reason SSBL is pulling out of South Sudan.
More critical, however, is the situation of diesel. Our operations depend 100% on diesel-generated power, and the diesel, we have two options. A, we can either import it, or B, we can buy it locally. Our diesel supplier finds itself that, you know, our credit terms have been more than exceeded, and they have to consider the risks involved. And we cannot locally source enough diesel to keep our operations running to the level that we need.
SSBL has been producing beverages in South Sudan since 2009 and employs at least 400 workers, most of whom are South Sudanese. Since Saturday, when the company first announced it was shutting down its South Sudan operations, up to 100 SSBL workers have been sent home without pay. Gomez says more staff may be furloughed soon, and eventually the temporary work stoppages may become permanent. But he says SSBL and SABMILA are trying to avoid that.
We continue to interact with various levels of government, whom over the years have been supportive, a fact for which we are grateful. However, we find ourselves in a precarious position, and we need support in getting access to Forex so we can continue our operation.
Gomez did not point the finger of blame for SSBL's difficulties at the 20-month-old conflict in South Sudan. But several traders and consumers have said the fighting has led to shortages of commodities, steep price rises, and a lack of readily available foreign exchange. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese diaspora met in Boston to try to help each other heal rather than pointing fingers of blame. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you think your government should invest in?
Youth employment. This is because it will help the youth in our area or our society to not engage in illegal activities.
Education. You know, education removes ignorance. And education, you know, it contributes to many things like crimes. For those who have not attended maybe schools or they didn't have support to continue with school, they are easily cheated and they can be involved in any crime activity.
The government should invest in infrastructure because, as you see, poor roads, drainage is not good. When it rains, it floods.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. A U.S.-based non-profit organization, the Global Partnership for Peace in South Sudan, just wrapped up its second annual conference. The meeting in Boston was aimed at uniting the diaspora in North America and supporting healing and reconciliation among South Sudanese. South Sudan in Focus reporter Ayen Bior attended the conference last week and has this report.
About 40 South Sudanese traveled to Boston from all parts of North America to take part in constructive dialogue about the disconnect between the South Sudanese diaspora and how to go about repairing the damage. After hearing from trauma counselors and political scientists, participants broke into smaller groups and were encouraged to ask questions and listen to somebody tell their story. Nyamal Tudil, who traveled to Boston from the western state of Nebraska, says the conference helped her connect with people from her country. She says she realizes that she can make a difference in her U.S. community as well as her community back in South Sudan.
I think I will take some of the exercises and the tools that we've used to really reflect on my own life and how am I positively influencing or contributing to bringing peace in South Sudan. You know, because regardless of who is getting hurt, they're still a human being. They're still somebody's mother. They're somebody's daughter. And to really work on that healing aspect of things, because we're really hurt.
David Majuk agrees. He traveled to the conference from Ottawa, Canada. He said now more than ever, the diaspora should start realizing that their words and actions affect their country.
sharing of ideas around peace in South Sudan, especially with the looming, like, you know, or hope that there will be peace within 2 or 3 weeks. I said maybe there'll be like some ideas that we can share together and inspire people at the local level to actually think of peace as not only like, you know, peace in South Sudan, but also peace amongst ourselves here in North America.
South Sudanese American Margaret Atari is a Maryland resident who works with the nonprofit South Sudan Women United. Atari says the South Sudanese people have become accustomed to being traumatized.
Throughout the many years that we face as South Sudanese, we had gotten comfortable in a hostile environment where we took all the negative things as part of the culture.
Yeah.
And we ignore the fact that we are actually traumatized and we need healing in that aspect. So all the negativity that we harbored in both internally and externally is causing us to actually fall apart.
Atari says healing is the key to the country's future. South Sudanese Wadi Lisa, who lives in Seattle, Washington, says the South Sudanese should think of peace as a goal that we work towards every day.
We always look at the bringing a peace as a destination or as a goal. But I also look at the peace not only as a destination, but as a continuous process. It's a process that, you know, we keep doing it day to day. Then it becomes more of a lifestyle rather than a destination or a situation where we reach at, and then we end it by the agreement or signing a paper.
South Sudanese Connecticut resident Esther Peter Bilal says she's glad she came to Boston to take part in the conference, but her heart is back home. Bilal says she is anxious to return once peace finally comes to South Sudan.
We dance with the Dinka, we dance with the Acholi, we dance with every tribe. We all South Sudanese. We need that to come back. That's why I want to go home. I want to put kids together to play around in the neighborhood, like we used to play at night, running around. This never happened again. I need that back.
For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
And there was some good news on South Sudan this weekend. Officials of the International Olympic Committee unanimously recognized South Sudan as the newest member of the Olympic family. In South Sudan, the decision was celebrated by athletes and officials alike, who say it's a huge chance for South Sudan's young people to show the world what they can do in the sports arena. Others say that admitting South Sudan into the Olympic movement is also a useful way to build peace in the country. Philip Thorn-Aleu reports for VOA from Juba.
Thorn Clay, coach of the Nile Eagle Football Club and deputy chairman of Numeli Football Association, says admitting South Sudan to the Olympic family will give many talented young men and women the opportunity to realize their sporting ambitions.
We want to focus, we want to make sure that the youth of South Sudan are involved in the sport activities all over the world, like the rest of the countries. So I'm happy, thanks to all people who had been running after this.
Kelly says there are no political, tribal or economic boundaries in sport. He says that is something that a country at war with itself, like South Sudan, urgently needs.
Once you engage the youth into sport activities, this everybody will have opportunity of where he can also participate. There will be athletics, swimming, and so on, a lot of things. So it's a tool to feast. And sport is all about togetherness. Nothing like tribes. It's just one family.
Clay says his sporting talent runs deep in South Sudan. He hopes South Sudan National Olympic Committee will look beyond Juba when it selects sportsmen and women to represent the country at the Games in Rio de Janeiro next year. Abraham Will is also a member of Numeli Football Association and an avid supporter of local sports. He says South Sudan joining the Olympic family and the possible participation of South Sudanese athletes at the Games in Rio are both excellent pieces of news. But Will says the athletes who represent South Sudan at the Games should be selected from an even diverse pool of talent. the South Sudanese diaspora that lives around the world. He says there is no room for tribalism or cynicism when the selectors are choosing who will represent South Sudan at the games.
People normally do these things on base on who can do it better and who cannot do it better. But in South Sudan, the issue is who is your friend and who is not your friend. For example, the South Sudan team, the football team, has only got very few tribes, and which I think the South Sudan has 64 tribes. The whole team has few people who are friends to some individuals.
Media reports quote the head of South Sudan Olympic Committee, Wilson Dengkwerot, as saying Gwor Mariar, the South Sudanese-born runner who competed in the marathon at the London Olympics in 2012, will be part of a poor team from South Sudan at next year's game in Rio. Mariar competed under the Olympic plaque in London because South Sudan was not yet a member of the Olympic family. Next year, however, he and others will proudly carry the South Sudanese plaque at the Olympics in Rio, thanks to the decision at the weekend to make South Sudan the 206th member of the Olympic family. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
Turning now to neighboring Uganda, where President Yoweri Museveni picked up nomination forms on Friday that will allow him to run for president in 2016. That same day, his political rival, Amama Mbabazi, defected from the nation's ruling political party, saying he will run as an independent candidate. Elizabeth Pollard has more from Kampala.
Last week, the headquarters for the nation's ruling party, the NRM, was packed with supporters who waited with anticipation for President Yoweri Museveni. Arriving around midday, Mr. Museveni greeted the crowd cheerfully, picking up his forms and confirming his place as the presidential flag bearer of the NRM. Mr. Museveni will be standing for his fifth term in office. He says it was a decision that he and the historical members of the NRM made together. Mr. Museveni will be running uncontested within the NRM party. That's because his anticipated rival, Amama Mbabazi, decided to run as an independent. Mbabazi says that while he's still a member of the NRM party, the party needs to re-examine itself, accusing it of obstructing his candidature. Mr. Museveni's decision to run again comes on the heels of President Obama's recent remarks at the African Union that nobody should be president for life. Former Vice President of Uganda, Gilbert Bukenya, agrees, saying Mr. Museveni should know better.
He must know the consequences. He must know that we are not going to allow dictatorship. He must know that the people are tired of a long stay leader who used to tell others that they have stayed for a long time when they never even stayed for more than 10 years.
However, many credit Mr. Museveni's leadership for Uganda's stability and economic growth. Longtime supporter and deputy presidential assistant Duncan Abigaba explains why.
People credit his peace and security credentials because there is no single time in this country, in the history of this country, where there has been this peace. So people are comfortable. People are saying, well, we may not have money in the pocket, but Museveni has brought the peace. I can use this piece to do whatever you want. So Museveni should stay.
While Museveni's presidential bid is clear and Mbabazi's remains murky, there is speculation that he will join the Democratic Alliance, an umbrella group of opposition parties. The alliance says it is open to Mbabazi joining, although they stress he will still have to work hard to become the Democratic Alliance's flag bearer. Elizabeth Pola for VOA, Kampala, Uganda.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. At least two people were killed and three others wounded in fighting on Saturday in Mibru Payam of Western Bahar al-Ghazal State's Wau County. The newly appointed Paramount Chief, William Camilo Gatti, was among the injured. He succeeded Chief Angela Bagari after he was assassinated in May. It's the latest in a string of attacks in Western Bahar al-Ghazal. A group of chiefs and administrators headed by Wau County Paramount Chief William Camilo Gatti were traveling on motorcycles Saturday afternoon about 2 o'clock when they came under fire from unknown gunmen. 11 people were killed by Western Equatoria's Yambio County in fighting, allegedly between civilians and SPLA soldiers, in a dispute over land. The violence also left an unknown number of people injured yesterday. The governor of the state, Joseph Bakasaro, says many people are afraid to venture outside. Among those killed are 8 civilians and 3 SPLA soldiers, according to Governor Bakasaro. He says it marks the third time within 2 months that civilians and the army in the state have engaged in deadly fighting, which the governor says began when cattle keepers refused to leave the land. Global Partnership for Peace in South Sudan, a U.S.-based nonprofit, just finished its second annual conference aimed at uniting the diaspora in North America and supporting healing and reconciliation among South Sudanese people. It was held in Boston over the weekend. About 40 South Sudanese traveled to Boston from across North America to take part in constructive dialogue about the disconnect between the South Sudanese diaspora and how to go about the healing process. And finally, sportsmen and officials are welcoming South Sudan's admission to the International Olympic Games in Rio. Officials of the International Olympic Committee unanimously recognized South Sudan as the 206th member of the Olympic family on Sunday in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. There is worry that South Sudanese are not ready to compete on the world stage in the Olympics. And that's a look at some of today's top news stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol. And that brings us to the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Pio by Emiore from Western Equatorial State.
Amboro ni kali chipare, homi kachini mbori na jika ko onga rongole yo. Homi kapini mbori na jika ko ome rongole yo. Adeni kali akumani wachiri yo kiri kiri. Adeni kali minanja jako. Habakule mini kali minanja bajangako. Miadunga yote. Minungu paichi paate Nyadunga yote Gimi manyasa Nyadunga yote Gimi manyasa kwa
Naduru kifuara biya chipa ichinji mbya nani Mbiko barakati kifumite ni ginia Aguyo kifuwa wande, aguyo kiena aragi Aguyo kinge biya, aguyo kiena ameme Miadunga yote, kimi manya sako Mie inangote, goni mbanya nami.
We have been listening to Emiore with that song, Pio. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.